I'm all about the hustle, I'm all about the grind. Every day I'm trying to get it, take it one step at a time.
Hey everyone, welcome to Carl Brizzy Live. Carl Brizzy here, another podcast. This is going to be an interesting one as I sit here with my my friend and my producer, Rob Kendall. Rob, thanks for joining me.
Always a pleasure. You're like a guy, you're like Switzerland, right?
Yeah. So what do you mean by that?
I mean, you're like friends to all sides?
Yeah, so we're talking about this whole thing with Todd, Rukita, and Abdul, and you, and...
Now, well, I'm not involved in
this. Well, the WIBC family.
Well, that's true.
Let me say that at least, because here's the deal, folks. So I am friends with Todd Rukita. I like Todd a lot. And Abdul's my law partner. You're my producer. I fill in for the chicks. I fill in for Abdul on WIBC. This is part of my family as well. So I'm watching all of this go down. And I'm not saying a thing. And I'm texting Todd, and I'm like, dude, what is going on? Because, you know, I wasn't really paying attention to the whole thing. What happened? What happened?
I think the guy's just made an egregious mistake. I think he's getting terrible advice. I mean, whatever he's paid these people who are running his campaign, he should demand the money back. And he's an attorney like you, so he could sue him for damages.
So what we're talking about now, we're talking about Todd Rukita's refusal to participate in a debate with Messer and Braun, because Abdul was what?
Well, here's the problem. Nobody still, we don't know why.
Because you don't know why, okay.
At first it was the moderator.
Mm-hmm.
It was the moderator's liberal.
And that was Abdul with the moderator.
Yeah.
Okay.
The statement that they issued about Abdul, and we'll pull it up here in just a minute, is one of the most offensive things I've ever read.
Oh, come on. That's hyperbole.
Well, but to... In terms of untrue, is untrueness a word?
Well, let's go with that.
In terms of untrueness.
Factually challenged.
There you go. To a guy who you need. Like, he needs Abdul in a general election. Because the Abdul audience is the people Todd's going to struggle with.
Well, that's the interesting part here, right? Because WIBC is the conservative talk radio station, right? So voters in a primary are going to be listening to WIBC. I mean, is it safe to make that assumption?
Yeah, the station doesn't have a position on it. I have no idea whether Hammer and Nigel thought, are going to vote for the guy, whether the chicks, well, I know the chicks aren't going to vote for him, but whether who Katz is voting for. So I think it's different. You got to differentiate to say, hey, WIBC thinks that's not what we're saying.
That's not what we're saying, right? Because you're a commentator. Abdul's a commentator.
Right.
You guys can say whatever you want, basically. Because I was even asking you earlier, before we started the podcast, whether or not you had to be somewhat neutral in this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to hear, you listen to these news reports from the news department, they play the clips, they don't go into it at all.
Well, I thought that, I listened to the Hammer and Nigel interview, and I thought that they were, they wanted to kind of defend Abdul, but thought that they were balanced.
Yeah, this, I would have never let him do that interview, by the way.
You're listening to Carl Brizzy Live, why not?
Because he was terrible.
See, I thought he did a really good job in that interview.
That's fascinating. You tell me why, because I'm
fascinated
to hear this.
Here's why. So he was saying basically that that it was unnecessary, right? That they were doing other debates, and that the host organization was what, public radio?
Yeah, PBS.
Yeah, PBS, and that he was talking about defunding public radio.
Okay.
And so why would he agree to do a debate in what would potentially be a hostile environment?
And that's fine, and that's his right. He could have done that without the press release because he went after Abdul. For him to say it wasn't about Abdul, it totally was about Abdul. And either look, here's the thing with Todd's campaign, and I told you this off air, and you know me, anything I say it to everybody's face.
Anything you say can and will be used against you, Rob Kendall.
And I know Todd will hear this.
He listens.
I would love to have a time machine and be able to meet with Todd Rukita before he made his announcement and tell him, please stop. Please don't listen to these people.
You mean the campaign people?
The whole thing. Like, before he did the defeat the elite, the announcement on the steps of the state house, I would love to have been able to just go, hey, time out. You're about to be led down a path to nowhere. And I know Todd doesn't believe this, but I've said this on W, because I'm really pissed at him now. But I really admired Todd.
You have said that to me many, many times. You and I have had several conversations about this this race for the Senate seat. I've known Messer for a very long time. I don't know Braun at all. And Todd's been a friend for a very long time. So you and I have had this conversation off the air, and I can say with all sincerity that you say that Todd is the guy, right? He
He's the if you look at his voting record, he is the person that I would vote for. I went into this race and I don't endorse.
Right.
So I wasn't endorsing.
Right.
I got to make fun of everybody equally.
Right.
But he's the guy. Mm-hmm. I know him. He's my congressman. I've introduced him at events before. I got along great with him. He's the only guy in the race that could run on accomplishments.
Right.
The guy accomplished.
He's done a lot.
Yes.
I'm telling you, he's a hard worker.
He is. He's a hard worker. He accomplished a lot as Secretary of State. He accomplished things that conservatives will like.
Right.
So he doesn't just have to talk about Washington. He can talk about what I did in Indiana. And it just floors me that somebody got to him, somebody who he's wasted a lot of money on, got to him and said, being the angry pro wrestling villain is the approach in this race that you're going to want to take. Like, I don't understand that.
The angry pro wrestling villain.
Like, he's attacking everybody.
Ah.
You know, left and right, throwing grenades at this person, at that person. You know, the clownish behavior of following people around in the Obama masks and the milk carton costume. The defeat the elite stuff when you're worth, according to your finance reports, $2.5 million, and you've got a plane, and you're a really nice dressed guy, and you've been in the government for 20 years. I mean, come on!
Interesting take on all of this. Carl Brizzi Live talking about Congressman Rokita's refusal to participate in a debate with Abdul and Messer Braun. And Rob Kendall has some pretty strong feelings about this. I think this is just, this is a blip. Don't you think this is a blip?
For him?
Yeah, it's a blip.
No, I think he's done.
Come on.
No, I seriously...
Over this issue?
I think it's a group of issues. It's a group of issues because a lot of people who should be supporting him are not.
Like who?
Like guys like me.
So I mean, now who are you going to vote for?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I can't vote for him. Now, the election's not right now.
Right.
But I am an early voter, so he's running out of time.
Didn't he say that he still might participate in the debate?
But that's even worse, right? I mean, so here's the deal. You're not Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You're
lots of Republicans want to try to be
exactly.
Donald Trump. They want to out-Trump Trump.
You're seeing it all over the map. Yeah. Donald, and I think it's safe to say I'm the Indiana Trump guy, right? I'm the guy that interviewed Trump.
Yeah.
You know, there was no... You
have been unwavering in your affection for the president.
I don't want another person to try to be Trump.
We can only deal with one of them.
I mean, and Todd is a government insider. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing.
Well, they're all, well, except for Braun. I mean, they're all pretty much government insiders.
Well,
right?
Sure, and he was an elected official too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not a bad thing. We somehow have gotten past the era where you can come out and say, I've effectively governed. And you want to vote for me because I've effectively governed, because I've worked with Democrats, because I've worked with independents, and I know how to get things done. So you can send these two guys to Washington who haven't done anything, or you can send me who knows how to work. Here's how I've worked conservative values in the system to help you. He's had a major education bill that's passed. He's got the Secretary of State stuff. He voted for the tax reform.
Look at you. Look at you. You're a Todd Rokita fan.
He had a line of stuff that he could stand up and talk about.
He still does.
But he's not doing it.
Look.
Don't be a clown.
Me?
No, not you. No, it's your show.
Carl Brizzi Live.
No, it's we can get into it in the next segment.
Yeah, all right, we'll get into the next segment. Because here's what he's for term limits. I can tell you he's not, you know, if for some reason he loses this race, he's not going to go be a lobbyist. You know, I mean, he is still the real deal, even with maybe, you know, a muddle-headed approach to this whole thing. Even though I would argue that it was not muddle-headed because of the whole PBS structure. And I mean, you know, he just came out and said, yeah, we should defund you. Basically, you should not exist anymore. And then I'm going to go have a debate where you're hosting.
So let's get to that next segment, because I think that's an interesting take.
Okay. All right. Carl Brizzi Live. We'll be right back.
You spend time with your family?
Sure, I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man. You look terrible. I want you to eat. I want you to rest well, and a month from now, this Hollywood big shot's gonna give you what you want.
It's too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, welcome back to Carl Brizzi Live. We're here with Rob Kendall. Rob, thanks for being here with us. So, last segment we were talking about Todd Rokita basically saying he wasn't going to participate in the public radio debate, and I was saying to Rob that I don't think I would participate in a debate where if I was running for prosecutors that was hosted by angry criminal defense lawyers. And that's the analogy that I would use, Rob, to describe him going into a debate with a public radio entity that he is on record as saying should be defunded.
But Abdul is the moderator, right? This is a guy that they've done Hunter flights together. They were buddies. He filled in for Abdul when Abdul was over at X&T.
Well, they're still buddies, aren't they?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think that's how you treat your pals, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I guess that's what floors me, is that he thinks Abdul is some sort of patsy for PBS, that Abdul has so little integrity that if as he described it, a gotcha question was proposed, Abdul wouldn't be like, no, that's not fair.
Interesting take. Yeah, well, that would, you know, who know, you know, I don't know how those debates work. I mean, who has the control over what questions are asked?
Well, Abdul, ultimately, the words come out of his mouth because he's the moderator.
Right.
And the other two guys, they're on stage too. He's not with Joe Donnelly right now.
Right. But when these guys did the WIBC debate that Tony Katz moderated,
sure,
right? Those were Tony's questions, because I remember talking to you and Tony about some of the questions that were going to be discussed. Those weren't WIBC questions. So I just wonder if part of their thinking was like, look, PBS is hosting this. PBS has asked Abdul to moderate it. Abdul agreed. He thought it was an honor. So as part of that process, is one of the questions going to be defunding PBS, right? I mean,
And Abdul said this, and I'm going to tell you what I think Todd really did here later, because we want to keep people listening the whole time, right?
You got some insight.
I got a really big theory on this.
All right.
But Abdul said this. He said, there are no gotcha questions. They're just questions you're not prepared to answer.
I did hear him say that.
I think I'm paraphrasing mm-hmm. that. But look, if you're for defunding PBS, it's not like people are going to be booing you in the audience, right?
Well, they might be.
Well,
if it's packed with PBS employees.
I don't think that's the way it's going to be. And I think Abdul would require control over the crowd. And by the way, defunding PBS, probably a good position to have in a Republican primary, whether PBS people are in the audience or not.
Right.
Because you're not talking to the people in the audience.
Right.
You're talking to this statewide network of people. And by the way, your kids ever watch Sesame Street growing up?
Yeah, even though it's become very progressive left-wing propaganda.
There's a whole lot. For him to say, it's only liberals that watch PBS, that's not true at all, man. I mean, there's a whole lot of parents who every day who are going to vote in this Republican primary.
Like, I listen to NPR sometimes, so.
This idea. So if you're not going to go, that's fine. Whatever, that's on you. But the idea that you put it on Abdul, and mm-hmm. then you're if you believe Brian Howie, the narrative changes because he got a ton of pushback of, it's not that Abdul's a liberal, it's that he's got a tie to Jennifer Hollowell.
What does that have to do with it?
Well, that's what Howie's reporting, is that he was told by, as he described, multiple sources from the Rokita people.
That Abdul and Jennifer Hollowell's running Luke Messer's campaign.
Yeah, so he's in the tank.
And with full disclosure, ran both of my prosecutor campaigns.
And did very well.
Very capable.
Sounds like if you want to win, you go to Hollowell.
She's good.
And Abdul responds, and again, paraphrasing, says, I don't have a relationship with her, but you do, because she basically ran your Secretary of State campaigns in 02 and 06. So...
No, she didn't.
Well, she was state party.
Yeah, she's state party.
So, I mean, de facto, that's the job of state party, right? Is to get the statewide candidate elected. So now that's been debunked. Then he goes on Hammer and Nigel, and it's not even about Abdul. He's a showman. He's a pontificator. He's in it for the money. He's in it to promote himself. I didn't want to go because I don't like PBS. Mm-hmm. So now you've given three different stories.
All the while driving his name ID up, your name ID up, Abdul's name ID up, Jennifer Hollowell's name ID up.
It's great for me.
Brian Howie's name ID.
I'm not trying to win a Senate race, man. You know, Abdul's not trying to win a Senate race. I'm sure Abdul is making money off this. I mean, I'm not intentionally, but, you know, people, hey, what's going on at Indy Politics? What's going on at the cheat sheet?
Yeah. Well, you know, Abdul's my law partner, so full disclosure there. Todd's my friend.
Who's the better attorney, you or Abdul?
Ah, well, we have different practice areas.
Okay. So if we were like have an attorney off on TV, if that were a show?
Yeah, we have totally different practice areas. So,
okay.
But try to get Abdul on the show today. He's at session, last day of session, so he's wrapping up there. He's doing a news thing here at 1, because I did want to get his take on all of this. But I'm sure you're correct. I'm sure he's loving it.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I'm loving it because it's great for me. I'm not doing it because it's great for me. I really wish Todd had run a normal.
When is this thing supposed to take place, this debate?
April 30th.
April 30th. Oh, so a week before the primary.
Right.
Interesting.
So, I mean, and we were kidding about this before we went on the air. How hard is it? Because, I mean, it's a Republican debate.
Right.
So it's the talking point, right? Trump's good, Obama bad.
Right.
How hard is it? Because if there's three guys on stage, you're getting about 20 minutes per guy to just filibuster your way for 20 minutes of Trump good, Obama bad. I mean, what, you know, you can revert back to whatever phrases you want, you know, Obamacare, tax reform, border security. I mean, come on, by this
build
point,
the wall.
These guys are doing this in their sleep,
yeah,
right?
At this point,
So what, the worst thing you're worried about is that you're going to defund PBS and some people might boo you?
I think it's a legitimate concern. I do. I hear what you're saying. I think it's a legitimate concern. Maybe it could have been handled a little differently. It is certainly not an issue that one ought to change their vote over, Rob Kendall.
Well, I'm not changing my vote over this. I'm changing my vote over the fact that he's unelectable.
No, come on.
If So and it's not over this. It's over a string of things, right? Because you don't get to say defeat the elite and then come out and it reveals you're worth $2.5 million and
you know how those forms work. I filled out those forms. Let's not misrepresent what those forms are. Those forms are huge ranges. And they have to do with, like, equity in your home and all kinds. Todd is not a rich guy.
Carl, I'm not worth anywhere, no matter how what form you want to stretch or how far you want to stretch it, anywhere near $2.5 million.
Radio does not pay well.
I'm worth about 2.5 cents. And then it's fine. I have no problem with it. I wish he was worth $20 million. I want as many people to be as wealthy as they possibly can. But you don't get to act like you're this outsiding, crusading warrior.
Rokit is not the elite.
But he is. He's been in the government for 20 years.
And that's considered elite?
I think
he was making something like $60,000 a year as Secretary
of
State.
But when your whole life has been involved, most or almost his whole adult life has been involved in the government, you're part of the system. You are the system.
I don't think Luke's the elite either. I mean, Braun is the elite.
Well,
I mean,
he's doing very well, which yeah. I like the rich people. I love the rich people. I mean, that's why I hang out with you.
To go to Harvard, kind of a big deal.
But that's the whole thing is laughable, right? Because you're the guy that did stuff. You're the only one on the stage that can go, I did, and then there's a laundry list of stuff. And you can look at those guys, and you can still punch.
Well, what's Luke's record?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I'm not saying it disparagingly. I mean, do you know? I don't know.
I don't think he did much when he was in the Indiana state legislature.
What out as a congressman?
Yeah. Though. I mean, he's basically the same stuff as Todd, right?
Yeah, so he's doing the same. Okay, so he's right on the issues.
Right.
Okay. Which you have to be, right?
Sure. Yeah. And they're all going to be for the same stuff, too, right? Which is, hey, I'm going to build a wall. I'm for border security. I'm going to vote for the Trump judges. I'm going to... Right. And this is what the problem happens when these guys see the world the same way. It becomes personalities and becomes personal.
Well, elections are all about campaigns. Elections are all about contrast, right? As you know. And so maybe this is a way to kind of gin up some more contrast between them.
But he's not doing it the right way. Because look, let's go back to the whole Abdul thing. Whoever the moderator is for the Donnelly debate, let's say you win.
Yeah.
You're going to be wishing it was Abdul.
Well, that's probably true.
It's going to be an establishment media figure,
right.
Somebody who probably tilts to the left.
Yeah, because it's going to be media, right? So, and it's not going to be WIBC media.
Yeah, so what are you going to do? Let's say it's Jim Shela,
right.
You going to tell him to pound dirt?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, you're going to sit up there and answer the questions. That's your job. Your job is to take on tough situations. And if you can't handle Abdul, who I can promise you, Todd, Abdul's not going to sandbag you. He's not going to throw you under the bus. I think Abdul even has any idea who he's voting for right now. I know he said many nice things about Todd. He said them to me. He said them to me personally.
Lots
over there.
Of people have nice things to say about Todd.
Exactly. It's just sad that a guy who has so many positive things to run on, I haven't heard him talk about one thing that he's done. I've seen him throw a lot of shade at people, and I've heard him talk about how he's the Trump guy and he's not because you were for Marco Rubio. So what do I have to go on? Right, you're the one guy that could be like, I did A, B, and C, and here's how I'm going to use those skills when I go to Washington. Instead, you're trying to tell me you were for Trump when you weren't, which is fine. But as the Trump guy, you're not the Trump guy. You don't get to grab the mantra when people like me were getting insulted and having profanities thrown at us and told how we were the scum of the earth when we were for Trump. You don't get to hop on the train. You can say, "Hey, I'm for Trump now."
You are, man, you are passionate. You're almost a little embittered by what you had to go through for your support.
It was brutal.
Because now everybody wants to be
exactly.
Right, part of the winning team.
Exactly. And I don't do that.
You don't do that.
I don't do that.
So I want to talk about something, but then in the last segment here, I want to get to your theory. Because I know that you have a theory about what's going on behind the scenes that I think that people are going to want to know. Have you talked about this theory before today?
Well, we're going to talk about it on, you and I are going to talk about it on Saturday on WIBC.
okay.
No, I haven't. So I'm going to let you break some.
Break some news here on the podcast?
I've alluded to it a little bit.
All right, well, you can just give us a little taste. But first, I have to talk about this because you know it's bothering
yes.
me. And part of this podcast I'm doing is because it's cathartic.
You're like Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams. You're trying to ease his pain.
What in the name of all that is good is going on with United Airlines? Like, I'm not kidding. Somebody posted on my Facebook page that they would rather ride a camel across the desert than fly on United Airlines. This airline is the worst airline known to man. I'm actually flying out today. Thank goodness I'm not flying United, I'm flying Frontier. This airline could not make any more mistakes than they've made in the last year or 2 years. They beat what was United, right? They beat the hell out of that guy. And I'm sure that he got a nice payday for that.
And I mean, you can beat on humans all you want, but you can't attack the animals.
They killed a puppy, an 8 month old puppy. The airline attendant, who, by the way, they love to remind you that they're not there to serve you drinks, but for your safety.
Do you like to fly?
I hate flying.
You hate flying?
Oh.
And you've been doing it for years.
I fly all the time, but I hate, you know, look, TSA, the airlines,
sure.
it's a cattle car, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a total cattle car. And
I won't get on airplanes.
Ever.
No. My honeymoon, we drove.
Well, that's my preferred, I like to be in control, right, of my own destiny and my own vehicle. I'm not a pilot, so I can't fly, but...
But you know one.
But they kill this dog. This bothers me on so... First of all, I have two amazing golden retrievers. You see them on my Facebook page, Cohiba and McAllen. So I have a soft spot for dogs. Who puts a dog up where you put the luggage? Like, I don't understand how this happened. And then you read some of the people on their Twitter and Instagram who were on the plane, you know, who were doing this, like, virtue signaling with other BS about, oh, we just assumed the flight attendant knew what they were doing. They heard the dog barking and whimpering as it was suffocating to death, and no one did anything. You know why they didn't do anything? Because of the authoritative nature of the airlines and the fact that these flight attendants can, you know, get you arrested when you land or fine you $500,000. It's totally ridiculous what's going on.
Yeah, it's pretty sick people that are cruel to animals, man.
Well, what about this part of it? What person doesn't get up and take the dog out of the thing? Like, I'm sorry, if I'm there, I'm taking the dog out, and I would do it in a way that, you know, hopefully that wouldn't get me arrested, but I'm that person.
Isn't part of it, though, your fear of getting shot by a marshal or something?
Yeah, no, I would have a real fear of that, like a real fear.
But you know a good attorney.
But I would do it anyway,
yeah.
Because, but when we come back, we're going to hear Rob Kendall's theory on what's going on behind the scenes in the Rokita campaign. Carver's Alive.
I don't like your kind of people. I don't like to see you come out to this clean country in your oily hair, dressed up in those silk suits, and trying to pass yourselves off as decent Americans. I'll do business with you, but the fact is that I despise your masquerade, the dishonest way you pose yourself.
All right, welcome back to Carl Brizzy Live. Rob Kendall here with me. And listen, this is the Feast de la Resistance. Is that how you say it?
What's that mean?
I don't know. It's like what everyone's been waiting for.
Oh, yeah, right.
Rob Kendall, he's very fired up, very passionate about this this thing with Congressman Rokita declining to participate in the debate and the reasons given for it, defending his good friend Abdul. Abdul, who is in the same law firm as I am, my friend Todd Rokita, my producer,
like if Rob Kendall. Literally like your whole world collides.
I know. And I was like, am I going to talk about this on my podcast? Should I just ignore it? But ignoring it, I can't ignore it. It's the elephant in the room.
That's why you're here.
Right. Exactly. All right. So what's this theory that you have?
You know, I've been trying to think about this because, like we've talked about, and you can vouch for this because I've said this on the air. A lot of people don't believe me. I've said it to you personally.
No, I believe you.
I like Todd.
And I've told Todd that.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not sure he believes me.
He's actually genuinely a nice guy. He does do a lot of really nice things.
He does.
For a lot of people.
He does. And you know what else he does? Returns phone calls.
Yeah. He's by all accounts, great constituent services.
And his wife is lovely.
And when he announced he was going to run, I was pretty pumped about that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, one, it's your congressman.
Right.
Two, it's a guy that I know has done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more of that. We need more, especially in this world of, you know, everybody's flamboyant. Everybody's trying to outshine the next guy. Somebody who can just go in there and go, you know what? I am a conservative. But you know what? I don't have to be a rock star about it. I'm just going to tell you, here's my record. Here's what I've accomplished. Here's what I'm going to do for you when I go to Washington. Let's get to business.
Oh.
And I thought there was a huge path for Todd to be that guy. Because let's face it, Messer is an establishment Republican. Braun's an outsider who voted for the largest tax increase in state history.
Harvard.
Yeah, you know. And by the way, I got to give Braun credit. He doubled down on saying he would do it again. You know, he didn't run from it in the debate, voted for the gas tax, and he said he'd vote for the federal gas tax. So, you gotta give the guy credit. I mean, at least he's consistent.
Yeah.
So it's like a guy you know is running, right. A guy you like is running, right. A guy you admire is running. Mm-hmm. And then he runs this campaign, which it's got to be he's getting bad advice, right? I mean, just all this stuff. Like, you're following a guy around in a milk carton costume and the Obama mask. And you know, you've spent $3 million on yourself, promoting yourself to taxpayers over the years. And, you know, your slogans defeat the—I mean, it's just like the worst of all stuff because you're throwing stones from a glass house. And then you start going after—here's the worst one. Here's the one that set me off on Todd, Carl. When he sent that press release out about Braun voting in the Democrat primaries.
Now, why did that bother you?
It's fair game.
Okay.
It's very reasonable. It's up to Braun to explain it.
Right.
But when he attacked the 08 primary vote, that shows he's either incredibly tone deaf. It's got to be it because he's not. Todd Rokita's not a stupid guy.
No, he's not stupid. But explain what you mean.
Hundreds of thousands of conservatives in 2008 crossed over to vote in that primary.
Uh-huh.
They did it because they knew the establishment wing of the Republican Party, at the guidance of Rush Limbaugh, they knew they weren't going to be able to take out Obama because those guys didn't have the guts or the grit or the determination.
Right. I remember Limbaugh pushing that.
So the only way to keep this thing going was to keep Clinton winning. And that was the only chance we had because we knew McCain wasn't going to do it.
Right.
So the only chance you got is to let these two people run themselves into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened? Clinton beat Obama in that primary here in Indiana. Didn't happen in the fall.
No.
So when you insult someone who voted in the Democrat primary in 08, everything else is fair game. Whatever. Braun's got to explain that. But you're insulting when you say, well, is Braun a bitter clinger or whatever the other phrase was? Well, that's hundreds of thousands of people who you're asking to vote for you.
No, I think that you're taking that totally out of context.
No, that's the press release that he sent out. Who was Braun?
He certainly was not insulting all of those primary voters.
You can't insult Braun for doing it then.
Well, it depends on what Braun's motivation for doing it was.
Because you're
Braun could have been a Democrat.
But your de facto thing is, well, because you, by specifically calling that out and then using those words, the catchphrases of Obama and Clinton.
Right.
You know, I think it was basket of deplorables and bitter clingers.
Yeah.
You're tying everybody else who voted.
No, I disagree with that.
Well, I'm just telling you how many conservatives see it.
Well, you don't. Come on. How many conservatives have you talked to about that?
That's what I do, man. That's my job, right? That's what I do.
Well,
you may not.
I understand your point. I do understand your point.
You're better than that. You're Todd Rokita. You should be better than the name calling, than the mudslinging. Look, Luke Messer doesn't live with his mom. Okay, everybody knows that. That's a terrible answer Messer gave when he tried to tell Katz he lived at his mom's house and he didn't know any of his neighbors. And everybody knows that. Everybody, here's what they know. Luke Messer, you don't live with your mom. Okay, you know, come on.
Some other elected official tried to use something similar to that excuse, and
it didn't work out for him either.
That well, no.
So the point is, and we nailed him on it, right? I nailed him on that. You know, people know Messer's wife is making a lot of money working for Fishers.
$250,000.
But that's a deal between the city of Fishers and Mrs. Messer. Well, it doesn't affect me as a taxpayer.
Are you saying that's not fair game?
No, I'm saying you can bring it up, but you're wasting all this time on it when...
Me as a are you saying, Rob Kendall, that $250,000 contract from the city of Fishers...
Mm-hmm.
Is not a legitimate issue?
It pertains to the people of Fishers. I'm telling you, as a person who doesn't live in Fishers, I don't care at all what Fishers does. It doesn't affect me at all. If it were with the state of Indiana or with the federal government.
But you're not saying it's not a legitimate issue.
I'm saying you can bring it up, but it's a waste of your time.
Why? There are tons of people in Fishers
because
who would think it was
if your whole U.S. Senate campaign is based on the city of Fishers.
Well, it's not.
Okay. Though. It's a huge waste of, and Mrs. Messer is not running for U.S. Senate. Mr. Messer is running for U.S. Senate.
Well, I am going, look. I'm not commenting on any of the deal, but I've talked to enough people about that arrangement that I think it's a legitimate thing to bring up. I'm not saying that the deal, the arrangement is illegitimate, but it's certainly a fair thing to question. Residency is a fair thing, right?
Everything in the public sector, and I've said this on the air.
Remember that ridiculous buy commercial?
Everything in the public sector is fair game, and his wife's taking a public check, so that's fair game. But you're wasting all of this time. And again, I haven't heard Todd Rokita talk about much of anything that he's done. You're wasting all of this time on these side issues. Like, you're not going to tell me Todd Rokita didn't know that somebody went in an Obama mask, which, by the way, that's a walking, talking television ad in inner cities across this state. And people who normally wouldn't vote are going to see that, and they're going to vote.
You're talking about in November.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a waste of time. The narrative for me, though, is that, and this happens, and you know this because you've been around a lot of politicians in your life, a lot of people lose themselves when it comes to a campaign, when it comes to seeking an office.
It's tough stuff, man.
And you have to be comfortable in your own skin. I've run for public office in one. You've run for public office in one. I never wavered from who I was. I said all sorts of things that were controversial, and people said, you can't say that. I said, well, I did, because I'm going to do it.
And you have a book.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
What's the book called?
I had two of them. They're out of print now.
Oh, I know, but I saw your Facebook post.
Yeah. You know, my wife made me get rid of the remaining copies.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like Homer Simpson's attic when they went up there that time, and their copies of him with the B-sharps. But the point, and by the way, you know who initially was supposed to write the back cover of that book?
Who?
Todd Rokita.
Look at you.
So... just
you
to
got
prove
a soft spot for him.
I think Todd's great. But the point is, you lose yourself a lot of times in campaigns with the idea of power. And I get it. Todd's putting everything on the line here, right?
Mm. Because Because
Braun loses, he goes back to being a millionaire.
Yeah.
Still a really rich guy. But if Messer or Rokita lose, well, what are they going to do?
Right.
You know, they'll have jobs, but this is their life. So I get it. But he's trying to be everything he's not because I'm gathering he's either been told or he actually thinks that's what people want.
Everything that he's not? How is he doing that?
He is not. Look, for him to go when he's on Hammer and Nigel going, oh, those two guys are about as entertaining as dry paint. Maybe I'll go on there and I'll spice it up a little bit.
I thought he did a good job on that interview.
I think
I texted him and said, you did a good job.
But Carl, nobody's listening to that debate for Todd Rokita. He's not Dean Martin. He's not Frank Sinatra wowing the crowd. He's not Motley Crue. Nobody cares whether he's in that debate or not other than us.
Yes, and people they do.
No, they don't. Nobody's going to listen for Todd Rokita.
What are you talking about? We've had like 2 days of media and we're doing a whole podcast on whether
because of the way he's acting. What I'm saying is nobody would have cared before. He's getting killed on it. He's getting creamed on it for not going and then attacking Abdul. My point is, he's not being himself. You know who he tried to sound like in that interview? I'm listening to it.
Let me hear you. Come on.
He's sounding exactly like Donald Trump when Donald Trump skipped the debate in Iowa.
Interesting.
And for every ad, it seems like I hear with Todd, I'm the Trump guy. And part of me believes, and it's a big part of me, that either he or his campaign saw Trump skip that debate in Iowa and goes, oh, well, Trump did it and it went over well, so I'll do it. Sure, yeah, people love that because I'm going to be the Trump guy. The big difference is, one, it was, I think, CBS. Right. It was an entire news organization, a national news organization, not Abdul. The second part of it is Trump went out and raised $5 million for law enforcement and veterans. Remember, he's doing the floor show and Santorum and Huckabee are there and he's doing a comedy routine. That's Donald Trump. That's Trump, man. You know, yourself.
Here's what I'm hearing from Mr. Kendall. I'm hearing a passionate plea for Todd to be Todd.
Yes.
Because you want Todd to be your senator and you want Todd to
Todd. I have no favorite. I am an undecided voter.
You're super passionate about Todd being Todd.
Because there's a good chance the guy could still win.
Okay.
And I've said this.
You're retracting your unelectable comment.
No, I want him to win. I think he right now is unelectable. I want whoever the Republican is to win, though.
Yeah.
And if it's Todd, I'm going to support you if you win this primary. I'm going to support you. I'm going to be behind you 100% because you're better than Donnelly.
It's a big gesture.
Hey. But my point is, go to your strength. Be you. You're the one guy who can run on the issues. You're the one guy who can say, I tried to work with libertarians. I went against my own party in redistricting. They still hate him for that, right?
Yeah.
They still hate him for that because he tried to be fair. He tried to do what's right.
Right.
I'm the voter ID guy. I'm the model. I wrote the model for all these other states that are trying to do it, and they're getting overturned at the courts, and I'm getting it done.
Passionate plea. For Todd Rokita.
Be yourself, man.
From Rock Kendall. Be yourself, man.
And apologize to Abdul.
Treat yourself.
Apologize to Abdul.
Todd, you got to treat yourself. Carl Brzee Live. Thanks for tuning in.
Is that why you slapped my brother around in public?
Oh, no, that was nothing, Mike. Now, Mo didn't mean nothing by that. Sure, he flies off the handle once in a while, but Mo and me were good friends. Right, Mo, huh?
I got a business to run. I got to kick asses sometimes to make it run right. We had a little argument Freddie and I, so I had to straighten him out.
You straightened my brother out?
He was banging cocktail waitresses two at a time. Players couldn't get a drink at the table. What's wrong with you?
Guess who's back again. Jamie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back. Guess who's back. Guess who's back.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Carl Brzee Live. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Facebook. See you next week.
I'm all about the hustle, I'm all about the grind. Every day I'm trying to get it, take it one step at a time.